Right, let's have it.
Okay, first one. I'm struggling to think of content to put in my newsletter that doesn't take an hour to write. I used to do exercise of the week, but this took too long to write. How long should a weekly newsletter be?
Haven't we answered this question?
Am I on the wrong questions? I'm on the wrong questions.
I thought you were.
Okay, now.
I'm sure I've thought about this before.
Okay, now.
I've highlighted the ones from the 28th.
Oh, got it. Don't you worry. I've got it. Don't you worry, Anthony. It's all right.
At least one of us is right. Do you know what I mean?
It's okay. It's all right. Okay? It's okay. Anywhere else I can push group PT other than socials and the floor? I'm guessing that means gym floor.
If you've got an email list. I think if you still teach classes in a gym, absolutely the classes, because it's a natural progression from classes to small group PT. I think that'd be a good one for you to do. And I know the majority of this person's audience from when I looked at the question is people who would go into a class. So classes, emails, inside your business. So is there an opportunity for some people inside your business who have been with you for a while to increase the frequency but stay at the same price? Or is there someone who's not been with you for a while who would benefit from a higher amount of increased kind of frequency? So you could progress them into, well, progress is the wrong word, but move them into small group PT. So in business, email, classes, and potentially get your clients to shout and scream about it and share the stuff that you're potentially putting out on socials. Anything else?
Okay. Did you mention small businesses?
I think I did, but I can't remember. But that as well, yeah.
We're going to be ace today, aren't we?
No, I'm not. Mum flew down my mind.
Go on. The only thing I'd add is networking with small businesses. It's a longer game if you haven't already got contact. So a couple of things. Think of the immediate circle you've got. So your current clients, friends, family, do they have contacts within their workforce that they might be able to get a good contact with, get in there? That's a quicker route in. Research local businesses, you know, anywhere from like segment it down to small businesses, like your cross promotion that you'd probably cross promote with, like barbers, salons, physios, all those kind of things. And then larger businesses where you can go in and provide some type of service to them, whether that be on their newsletter, whether that be wellness days, talks, whatever. That's the only thing I'd add.
Next one, for a PT that works in a commercial gym, if you can't get balanced shifts that work alongside your business, would you say being a rent PT is a no-brainer?
Yeah. Pretty simple. Yeah, I think if there's a difference, I think if your business is financially viable and your shifts are preventing you achieving what you want from your business, then it's a no-brainer. If you're just pissed off and can't be asked for shifts, then it's also probably a bit of a no-brainer. But be very aware that what the shifts bring you sometimes that you don't realize. So I'd understand your marketing from a metrics perspective first. And if a lot of your guys are coming from classes, are coming from shift work, you need to, in my opinion, make sure that you have some system that's going to bring them in off shift so that if you do go to rent, your leads don't dry up. What are your thoughts of offering some kind of free trial for one-to-one, maybe through an email series, but something that could help a prospect have a bigger buy-in?
It's a tough one because essentially, I'm more than certain that your service isn't an email service. It isn't an email service, so they're still not getting an understanding of what your service is from an email service, if that makes sense. So if you were to do a free trial within your service, it's, I suppose, letting them inside the business for a week, 2 weeks, or whatever it is. And if it's one-to-one that you're selling, that would then mean that you'd be coaching them for that 1 week or for that 2 weeks. I think opening your doors for a week's trial of coaching for a select amount of people could be a fair, could be a fair lead magnet to throw out there for a decent call to action. But for me, they would have to see the whole of the service. Like, you would literally treat them as a client for a week, or they get a couple of sessions. They'd understand how calories are set up. They'd understand the nutrition support. They'd understand why the accountability and the check-ins there. They'd get involved in the client group. Like, they'd be immersed in that whole service. Because if you look at parts of the industry that successfully do free trials, are like small group training gyms, where you'll go in for a week, or in some cases 30 days, and you'll witness the whole experience of that gym or of that service. So I think if you're going to do it properly. But that means that if you're selling one-to-one PT, there's a cap on you being able to do that from a time perspective. So in a nutshell, yes. Watch how you communicate it, watch how you word it, because I believe like things like, and I'm sure you're aware of what our feelings are on just free taster sessions, like there is no value in them. It's very hard to convert people into what they need instead of what they want off the back of a taster session. So if you were putting it into a trial or an experience of what your one-to-one coaching is like, and it's for a select minimal amount of people, then, and you build it up like that, then I think it might be a wise move, but not through an email series, because it wouldn't be a true reflection of what your service brings to people. What are your thoughts?
It's all the way you present it at the end of the day. You know, the industry was pretty much built on giving away free tasters for, you know, for 10, 15 years, and it loses its values. But, you know, having an experience of your service is an important thing. And, you know, if you break it down, when you talk to someone, you help them on the gym floor, when you give them technique correction, when you send them an email with a tip, you have a conversation, that's all an experience. So I think it's definitely the way you present it. It's definitely the way you position it. It's definitely the way you create the perceived value on it. It's weird messages coming up. So yeah, I'd agree with Anne, but I think, you know, try and if you're thinking of this because there's maybe a bit of a breakdown in marketing through to sales, look at your calls to action, look at the engagement side of things throughout that process, and start to look at improving those things, I would say, or where you may be able to improve it. And use the free stuff very sparingly and specifically. So,
next one. How can I be better at being more direct with my call to action? I know it's something I need to do better at, but sometimes worry about coming across pushy or salesy.
How can you be better? It's hard to say that without seeing what you're doing now. But look, if you don't tell people, stop thinking about being pushy and salesy, and start thinking about being clear and precise with your calls to action. So in regards to that, you know, if you don't make it very, very clear and precise for people, people aren't going to know what to do and how to do it. So I think sometimes when we think of calls to action, we're thinking of pushing people, or just be really, if you look at anyone that does this really, really well, they never come across salesy. It's all about being clear and precise. And also, one of the things about calls to action is, in my opinion, if you're like on socials or whatnot, and you're having the right type of engagement, when you do your calls to action, you're almost thinking of people this will directly, you're directly speaking to, because you've had those conversations leading up to that point. So earn the right to tell people where to go, and just be precise and clear on how people can work with you and what they need to do, instead of thinking about being annoying or badgering or salesy or pushy. Because when you be clear and precise, it doesn't come across as desperate or salesy or pushy. But if you want to send us an example, it's hard to say without looking at examples, just ping it through on email. Probably too late now because I've slugged the timing of this. Inquiry landing page. What would be an essential? What would be the essential info needed? We always know who this is by the ending of it. Cheers, sweet lips.
So, what would be the essential needed on a landing page? Is that the question?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. I think first of all, I'm just going to front this with that. This is a skill. This is where copywriting comes into a T. It doesn't mean to say that you should put it off to wait to put some money into a copywriter. It obviously can be done yourself. I think as soon as they land on the page, people want to know, because bear in mind they're coming off the back of, let's say, your socials or a QR code in the gym. They want to know what it is, who you are and what it is. So how can you, as soon as they land on the page, let them know what the service is, like really describe it. And I think for me, the best way to do that is a video. So as soon as they land on the page, just a really short video with captions that people can understand what it is, and what you offer and what it entails. Then you've got the copy underneath that of basically what you've said. So what's within the service, what people get, all of that type of stuff. I would put a call to action in there straight away. So like a buy now button or inquire here button or apply here, whatever it is that you want to use. I would definitely put social proof in terms of however you share your social proof, whether that is before and afters, whether that is a client testimonial, whether that is a client video of them talking through their experience. I think that really helps to build trust on the landing page as well, to get people to the next stage, which is the inquiry point. I think that's really important. I also think about maybe some light FAQs that relate to your market, just some bullet points of kind of the type of people who you work with, how you help them within the service, what restrictions or barriers or challenges that they have and how you support people to overcome that. I think if you mix a bit of all of that in, so service, videos, a bit of social proof, some FAQ-based stuff that you know people will be thinking when they land on your page, and if they see that question and the way you've answered it, it might confirm, actually, yeah, this is the right time for me, or this is the right thing for me because he works with this type of person. I think that all will help massively. Anything you would add?
No.
Well, there's some questions in the chat, I think.
Yeah. I have clients who have been... Okay, you read it, Anthony. I tell you what, you read it.
I have clients who have been with me over 12 months. Recently, I've had some issues with late payments, cancellations, etc. I was thinking of resending my T's and C's out to everyone in a new format, should I say, on Stridest. As a gentle reminder, do you think it would be a good solution?
Depending on the way it's presented, it's got to be easy to read. Yes, I do, but I also feel that you need to address this individually with those people.
Yeah.
Because painting everybody with the same brush, people can get pissed off with that. So think about the context you're going to put in front of it to everybody, if you point it out to everybody. And I always think an FAQ style is a really easy way to present it. And address it individually with those people, because there's probably a bigger, instead of forgetting about the T's and C's, which, hey, it's always good to remind them, there's probably a bigger issue of why they're cancelling. and being late repayments. Also, do you think it would shoot myself in the foot if I said I was going to move on automatic payments? No, do it. Anything else?
How to set up holiday every quarter of the year? Is it by taking payments of every first of the month? Then I won't have to make up sessions. Thank you.
It doesn't have to be the first of every month, maybe you have to, but to make it easy to not owe people sessions is the way you present, first of all, the way you present your service. So instead of you're buying eight set, you're someone's doing two sessions a week with you, and you know, the check-ins and the reviews and etc., instead of presenting it in a way that they're paying for 8 hours of personal training and they're paying it on a monthly basis, it's you're charging for the whole service and that's per calendar month. And so the focus reduces off counting down from 8 to 1, and if they miss one, you owe them and all that palaver. So that's the first thing, is change the way you present your price point and your service to people. The pricing for the service webinar, will go through that, mate. I'm not sure if you're there yet. And the non-negotiables will tell you, give you a breakdown on how to present or how to work out the holiday. So effectively, mate, if you're taking a week off or 4 weeks off a year, think about your different packages, how much that is per month, work out the value of 1 week, and then simply spread that week over the 3 months. So as an example, if your package is £300, let's average it out, £300 a month, 1 week would be worth £75. Take that £75, spread it across the 3 months. So you're taking £25 off that 300, your new price point is 275. And you take that week off. I know that's, I've just told you that, but hopefully that makes sense, mate. But for the non-negotiable webinar and the pricing for the service webinar will help you out with that.
I'm just going to add a question. I'm just going to add a question onto that question because it might help this person. And we get it all of the time. Once you've worked that out for yourself, what if someone else, what if a client takes a week off in that time as well?
Just accommodate for it. You know, on think of the wording you're putting across. On average, I will take this amount of time away from the business. And you could accommodate that for that client as well. So you could add another week on or 2 weeks on. Look, this is so you can understand it in your head. The way you present it to your clients is very simple. Like when you take holiday off and when I take holiday off, already accommodated for that in the price point. So the IOU scenario doesn't, you know, you're not missing out on anything. The price point is there and we've accommodated for it. And then just go down the road of 30 days notice if possible. We'll take care of you when you're away, blah, 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 blah. Dead simple. Okay, Anthony.
Yeah, I just know other people will be thinking it when we're listening back to it. That's it, mate.
Short and sweet.
Love that. All right. Happy days. Have a belting week, everyone. Speak to you in a bit.
Bye.